You're listening to Beer Talk Today with your hosts Kyle Brown, Matt Lang, and John Nadler.
All right, welcome to Beer Talk Today. We posted up the question, will craft breweries, will their session beers make a comeback, or are they getting kind of tromped by like the big and heavy beers? And what were the results of that, Kyle?
You know, actually, a lot of you guys thought that the craft brewery are going to be kind of taken into the session beers, and that session beers themselves are going to kind of be new and improved. So that session beers are here to stay, and that they're going to get better.
Which is good. You know, I think people are starting to recognize, like, a good beer from just, like, a American Light Lager. You know, I think people's palates, now that there's more microbrews in the supermarkets, there's more microbrews on tap, I think people are starting to recognize, you know, these beers from other beers, and I think we're starting to see a nice change here in the general public.
I would agree, too. And the one point I like to make on session beers, which I know not everyone agrees with me, but I believe session beers should have a cost in mind, which you don't normally put on other beers. If you want to go for the best of something, you're going to pay a little bit more. But I think in session beers, it's more important because it's something that you're going to drink more of necessarily than, you know, just one beer. You're going to have a few when you're out, you know, out in the summer, or you get done mowing your lawn and you just want to drink a quick beer. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to be drinking more of these things, I think cost has to play a role in. And that's one thing that craft breweries do face a big problem. You know, they have more costs per beer when it comes to distribution. They don't have all the efficiencies that some of these big boys have, but they're also not cutting corners. They are making some really quality beers. So
yeah, sure.
It's a wonderful balance that you have in that session beer category.
For sure. All right. Well, I guess continuing on with the show, we're going to move into the tasting. This week we tasted Grumpy Troll's Baltic Porter. This was an award-winning Baltic Porter from Grumpy Troll out in Mount Horeb. And it was interesting. And the label of the beer itself was really interesting. But we'll jump into the tasting, and I'll let you guys hear for yourself.
All right. We're here today on this fine rainy day.
Very rainy.
Trying out the Grumpy Troll World Beer Cup winning Baltic Porter.
Yes, it's the Amnesiac Baltic Porter. It's a beer. It says on their website, back for the summertime, it's our award-winning world best Baltic Porter. Baltic-style porter fermented with a lager yeast, rich and inviting with flavors and aromas resembling dark fruit and chocolate. And as we learned last week, after re-educating ourselves at Detroit Capital's Baltic Porter,
what a Baltic Porter is.
Yeah, it's definitely can be brewed with lager yeast, not just ale yeast. It depends sort of on the location, and a lot of the more authentic Baltic ones are brewed with lager yeast. So it's not a traditional porter by any means. And yes, this was the 2008 World Beer Cup champion in the Baltic Porter category, beating out a beer from New Mexico, and also in bronze was the Baltica N6 Porter from St. Petersburg, Russia. So there was one authentically Eastern interpretation there.
Cool.
All right, well, it's open.
Let's pour this out.
Do it.
Whoa, dog.
You'll have a bad pour.
All right, so on first look, it's about a two-fist head.
Yeah, that was too much. I'm pouring too fast. Whoa. Dude, this beer is hypercarbonated. It's not me. It's not just me. It's the beer. All right, so yeah, it's about 90% foam when you pour it into the Sam Adams Perfect Pour glass. Huh. It'll be a while before we taste this one.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no joke. Wow.
And this will be the problem with Duval Draft.
Yeah. So also be the problem. Yeah, theoretically, unless they... But it's dark.
Yeah.
I would say it's definitely darker than Capital's Baltic Porter. Doesn't have the ruby, amber kind of tones to it. It's pretty black.
Yeah.
We should also say, Grumpy Troll is a brew pub and predominantly just has stuff on tap at their place. They don't distribute their bottles, to my knowledge, but they do sell a few pint bottles. So this is 1.6 ounces at the brew pub that you can take away along with the growlers. So this is one of the 1.6 ounce bottles. Grumpy Troll, of course, out in Mount Horeb.
Wisconsin.
You're right, Wisconsin. Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know.
For those tuning in from out of state
right.
and out of country.
Right. For international listeners, Guten Tag.
For those in Russia, you lost.
Yeah, third place to some Wisconsin brewery. Tisk, tisk. Still dark. Still a lot of head. Head retention is obnoxiously pretty good. I wonder if they, like... I'm not positive if it's bottle conditioned or not.
I'm sure it is.
Probably. I mean, I would assume. Like, looking at the bottom, it seems like there's some sediment on the bottom, yeah. And... Yeah, they primed it pretty good, I think.
I wonder, maybe they're just bottling off the line.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of bottling facility they have.
Like off the taps.
They might.
I mean, if they don't primarily do bottling.
Right.
All right, we're back from our nap. Beer's kind of settled out.
A little bit. You can probably drink yours. Mine's still... That's
like
pretty
a
dense.
Float.
It does look like a root beer float.
It definitely has that style of foam.
Just don't push the ice cream down, that overflows.
True.
Yeah. All right, yeah, let's take a sip.
It's a lot heavier
than
that last Baltic Porter we had.
It is way heavier. Definitely a lot more than I expected a Baltic Porter to be, I guess.
Yeah.
Real dark, roasty notes.
Yeah.
More like a porter than a Bock.
It's really
even though it is though. Lager.
You don't really taste the alcohol too much, which is nice.
Yep.
Because I think you smell it a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you don't really taste that.
It's definitely really smooth.
Yeah,
it is. It does sort of have, similar to that Capital One, a very kind of creamy texture, which is really nice. And maybe that's what you get from lagering the dark malts.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had, obviously our experience, if you listened last week, showed I only had, I think, one other Baltic Porter.
We're fairly experienced.
Yeah, we're super experienced with Baltic Porters. Not so much. And I've only had a couple of Schwartz beers, but as far as lagering roasted malts go, I think that is the kind of the effect you get out of it. And this is really nice. This is solid. This is good.
It's really heavy, but I could definitely... I don't think there'd be too much of a problem finishing a pint.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because it doesn't linger heavily.
Yeah, it doesn't have
really
that.
Really nice finish.
Yeah, it doesn't have too much like an alcohol bite.
It's 8.2%.
Yeah, alcohol. We didn't mention that. 8.2%.
So it's up there. Prepare to live.
Yeah, it sure is. Don't have two pints if you're driving.
Yeah.
Just one.
I would say none.
Or none. Maybe none.
Go for the free soda.
Yeah.
The Blue Dolphins. What other beers did they have in bottle?
They had some, yeah. They didn't have all of them. I'm trying to recall. They just had a few in bottle. I know they had Eric the Red, which is kind of their just amber ale. It's like maybe their IPA, too, or a double IPA, maybe?
Oh, okay.
When I was there, I tried their Saison on tap, which was also very nice. It was definitely sort of not a sour interpretation, like a Jolly Pumpkin sour, but just like a slight... There's a little bit of sort of a sour lactic bite to it, which is, I think, really, really nice in a Saison. It was good. Yeah, I really liked it. And I've also had a couple of their beers of the Great Taste, like the Flanders Ned, which is a more sour, obviously. Sour Flanders Ale. That one I really, really liked as well.
Yeah, that was a very good red.
So, yeah, impressed with Grumpy Troll so far.
Yeah.
And this is dark. Big, heavy, dark.
World Beer Cup champion.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think this is in your vast experience of Baltic Porters these past 2 weeks, having two of them, World Beer Cup champion?
I'd give it to them.
Yeah, I would too. Capitals was good, though.
Capitals was good.
Capitals was maybe more drinkable.
I mean, maybe if, like, you held the World Beer Cup championship... Then you release the results like a week later. So I think for some reason Capitals, like, I didn't love it at first. The more I thought about it, it got better and better.
Afterward.
Yeah, I don't
kinda know. Kind of like Napoleon Dynamite. Like, it's not funny while you watch it. then when you think about it later, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Kind of like that?
A little bit like that.
That was my experience with that movie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was a dated reference. Sorry, everyone. Back to the pier.
Yeah.
But I think this is very good.
I would order it.
So, Kyle, what do you think about it?
A lingering tart that really lasts.
Yep.
I mean, I haven't sipped for 20 seconds now, and it's still, you know, the tartness has not gone away.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that, Kyle.
I can see a lot of carbonation, actually. You can see any point of the glass where it may not be a perfectly clean glass or maybe an imperfection in the glass. You can actually see the carbonation forming quite rapidly from the bottom. That's probably part of the reason why it has such a strong aroma. Wonderful taste when I take a sip, and as it rolls back past my tongue. Not like the very back, more like the middle of my tongue, but you get awesome, awesome flavors coming out of this, like a caramely sweet. And I think that's a nice contrast with the bitterness, too.
Oh, wow.
Do you actually have this beer in your hand, or is that just a glass of water?
Well, thank you, Grumpy Troll.
All right, guys, we're back. And that was Kyle on the subject of the Baltic Porter. Kyle, how'd you get such a weird...
Yeah.
Did you pour a different glass of beer?
All right, so here's exactly what happened in this one. As you guys all know, I was out last week. I was ill. And from my illness, I'm actually on a 12-month... or a, not 12-month, thank God. A one-month sabbatical from alcohol. And therefore, I was not involved in this tasting. Apparently, John and Matt thought it'd be pretty funny to splice in random clips from our other samplings and put them in there. So
Kai was actually phoning in from the great outdoors.
Yeah.
If you could hear.
You know, random birds appeared. So, yes, I did not actually taste that beer. That was a fun little game that they have just played on me. But
so while we were tasting the Baltic Porters, I'm assuming you had some craft sodas.
I had a soda. And, you know, actually, this has opened up an entire new spectrum of brewing, I guess, that I never really thought about. Just going to the bars and whatnot with my friends and not ordering a beer, I've been getting soda. And actually have been finding that there are some really good brewed sodas out there.
Well brewed.
Well, I don't think they're brewed. Is that considered brewing?
I think they're brewed. I mean,
there's a brewing process. I'm heating and steeping of something.
Something is brewed and it turns into soda.
Yeah. So, and you know, some sodas, when they're bottle sodas, some of them are actually bottle conditioned. Clearly, Pepsi, not one of them.
Mm-mm.
But certain, I guess, craft sodas, as you would call them, do have some bottle conditioning. Anyone who does homemade soda without the use of CO2 does some form of bottle conditioning. So, I've actually, really become interested in what they have in soda. Right now, I'm sticking with the root beer as one of my favorites, as well as cream soda. But
the soda connoisseur. See, I was a big fan of Mellow Yellow back in the day.
Mellow or Surge?
Surge was sweet.
I like the Surge commercial way more than I like the actual product.
That's true. But I think from an adult beer standpoint, you know, root beers and cream sodas, you know, those are a little more interesting because more people are doing the craft process with that.
Yeah, you know, we actually tried making a soda. And it was a cream soda, but we added some chai spice to it to try to liven things up, apparently. But that turned out great, too. And, you know, even Sprecher, as, you know, they're a really acclaimed brewery, and they make really good soda as well. So there's a lot of...
I was watching the Food Network.
Yeah.
And there was a whole segment on Sprecher Brewing Co. as a soda company and as, like, a barbecue sauce maker. Because they put their root beer in this barbecue sauce or whatever.
Really?
But they didn't even acknowledge the fact that they made beers. And they talked to, like, the head soda maker. And so to your average person outside of Wisconsin, they think Sprecher root beer, you know.
You know, I've heard of, and I believe it's Sprecher. Maybe it's someone else that makes it. But there's these extremely experimental beers that are full flavors. It's like the gum in Willy Wonka. That's like a full course dinner. They've actually made a soda that has they've isolated all the flavors from a turkey dinner and used artificial flavorings and created a turkey dinner soda. It tastes like turkey and mashed potatoes and whatnot. It sounds disgusting, absolutely disgusting to me. That's one I have not tried. But
people are doing that with beer, too. I mean, there's that pizza beer.
That's true.
That was at the 07 Taste. And you can actually find right in town here at Riley's.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think there's a strong correlation between craft beer and craft soda, and I think the time slot after us should really be dedicated to soda.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that someone hasn't picked up on that yet. So, all right, well, I guess off of the soda topic. Well,
yeah, let me point out, though, soda Kyle, for me.
If you see Kyle on the street, you will notice he has a big beard.
Yes. In light of my non-drinking prohibition month, I'm growing a prohibition beard. So we're going to see how burly I get through this month. So it's itchy right now, I'll tell you that much. So
it's getting there, man.
Yeah.
You beat me in like 2 days. And I'll be going for months. And I had to get a haircut just to not look like a fool.
Yeah, I'm might as well just go audition for like Jesus and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, because I'm getting there. So
you are.
I saw the light. Enough on my soda adventures. Moving on back to beer, the reason you are all listening. It's one of our great segments now, Beer in 60 Seconds, as we mentioned earlier. We're going to extend this one. We're going to go for more around. John, what do you think?
I'm still going to shoot for 60, but unlike the times that I've done poorly, I'm going to say right now, there's a lot of beer news out there.
So let's go with beer in 90 seconds. 92? Can you do 92?
How about 87?
87. Beer in 87 seconds. For you guys with a watch at home who have nothing better to do than time a radio show, get ready. Here we go.
Count me in.
Oh, 3, 2, 1.
All right. According to Portland's KATU, beer kegs are becoming a prime target of theft. As steel prices go up, keg theft goes up, costing a near $50 million loss each year in the beer industry. Aside from gas and hop prices, the cost of stolen kegs is another factor going into the price increases in your glass of beer. Up next, microbreweries are continuing to defy the hop shortage as Port Brewing Company from California is set to release their High Tide Fresh Hop IPA, and Rogue, which you can now find on tap at Alchemy in Madison here, is set to release their Independence Hop Ale, the brewery's first beer using their own homegrown hops. Locally, fresh Cascade hops are now available at the Madison Farmers Market. I saw them today at the one stand that does a lot of fresh pasta. I don't know the correlation there. Up next, Sprecher Brewing Company reported that it won 8 medals at the 2008 Los Angeles International Beer Competitions. Probably 8 medals for root beer. Next, a new beer named after Jesus Malverde, the patron saint of drug traffickers, is brewing up controversy in Mexico. As drugs and drug gangs are increasing, the Malverde beer is part of the narco culture, which is a fascination with narcotics. One patron at a bar laughed at the beer label and was quoted saying, quote, "It's just a name, just a mascot like Colonel Sanders. Even colonels kill people, right?" And lastly, in Ames, Iowa, Chamberlain Street in the campus town area of the town needs to be replaced due to damage and chipping. Because this street is a popular spot for keg drop-off and delivery, the city's Public Works Department has planned to install the town's first rubber sidewalk, which can take the pounding of kegs. And that's all for beer news.
Ooh. Not bad, not bad.
That was a lot of news.
That was about 17 seconds over.
Okay.
So not terrible.
I didn't even elaborate that much.
That's fine. You know, actually, I'm really excited that they have hops now at the farmer's market. Yeah. With the hop shortage, I've thought about growing them. However, I move apartments, it seems like, every month being in college, and I just don't have the space either or permission from my landlord to start growing in my apartment building. Right. So for me to get hops that are local and fresh grown is actually really appealing to me.
Yeah, it seems really cool. I think they're a couple ounces, 2-3 ounces in a bag.
Cool.
I didn't really check, but they're, you know, nice, fresh, sticky hops, so they looked like they'd be great for a beer edition. Way more fresh than what you're going to find, you know, at a local wine and hop. The other story I found interesting was the one about the drug trafficking beer. I think it's interesting because the guy mentions, you know, Colonel Sanders is just an icon, but, you know, you see people wearing those Che t-shirts all the time, you know, and they forget that Che killed a lot of people too. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's like the iconic figure of, you know, this drug trafficking or violence.
I would say there's definitely a lot of Bar Marley t-shirts on, and I don't think he promotes peanut butter sandwiches, so, you know.
He probably likes peanut butter sandwiches. There's nothing wrong with him.
Who wouldn't love those? But
other than Ames, Iowa, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Not only could your kids play on the ground, you could toss kegs to each other.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that we kind of mentioned earlier about breweries going green. Seems that the life of beer is going green even in its delivery system. So all made from recycled tires. I believe a company out of California does that one. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the first story we had, beer keg prices. You know, we talked to Ron Jeffries of Jolly Pumpkin, and he had pointed out that, you know, a lot of his kegs are getting stolen, and it ends up being a cost that the brewer has to pay for whenever a keg gets stolen. So, you know, for some breweries like them, it's not that important to, you know, replenish their stock of these kegs because it's just flat out too expensive. So, and wow, a $50 million loss each year. I mean,
that's a lot. I mean, Ron Jeffries, he said what? His stock or his keg fleet was killed by 2/3.
Yeah.
And
I think the article said somewhere around like 300,000 kegs.
Yeah. I mean, they don't do kegs anymore because of that. And the other one, which, not to jump back into soda, but you did mention Sprecher winning 8 medals.
I don't know what it was for. That's all the news said.
They won something. But so it just goes, you know, they're making a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, there. I would assume it's for beer.
I would too, but I'm just saying they're making great beer still, and they're, you know, kind of dabbling in the soda realm as well. So
they do tend to do that. So I don't know. That's all I got for beer news. Next week, maybe I'll get it again because I've only won once so far.
Yeah, but you know, we aim for 87. Yeah. You got close. It was good. That's true.